G'day, mate. How you going? I'm the Lethal Mullet, and thank you for choosing this podcast to listen to today, where we're going to be looking at a classic 80s film, which really is one that I think is long forgotten by a lot of the people that grew up in that time. It was created by the writer of The Last Starfighter, which give you an idea this is going to be a science fiction film. And, of course, it is a fantastic film, and one I think you are going to enjoy if you have the chance to revisit it. Join us tonight as we look at My Science Project here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
All right, lights, camera. Action. Now, where's the mullet? Where is he? Is he coming in by chopper again?
And now, live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia, it's time again for your dose of action cinema history from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. With the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Oh, g'day, mate. How you going?
G'day, folks. Adam O'Brien here, the Lethal Mullet, here at Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia for Lethal Mullet Network's flagship show, the Lethal Mullet Podcast. Here to chat 1985 science fiction comedy, My Science Project. Now, when I first saw the VHS of this in stores, my parents weren't too keen on us checking it out because, I mean, I was only very young at the time. I was in year two. And it wasn't until about 86, 87, so it would have been a couple of years older, that I got to see it at my uncle's place. Uncle Paul, I'm sure he won't mind me chatting about that story. Of course, we sat down to watch what we thought was just another teen comedy. And it turns out to be one of the better science fiction comedies of the time. Bit of action involved and a hell of a lot of amazing guest stars, co-stars, whatever you want to call it, in this film. This film stars John Stockwell from Top Gun, playing, of course, Michael in this. We've got Vince, played by Fisher Stevens, who you'll know from Short Circuit, and, of course, even Mario Brothers, with, of course, Bob Roberts, played by Dennis Hopper. That's right, Fisher Stevens and Dennis Hopper then reunited in, of course, that film. We have also Danielle Von Zemeck playing Ellie Sawyer, Raphael Sabarge playing Sherman, and Anne Wedgeworth playing Dolores, and many others. We're going to talk about that very, very soon. And this, what's interesting about this film is, you know, always had that great cover. If you look at the cover of the actual film itself, it's got, you know, the two guys on the sides with the M16s, which always caught me. I was like, oh, this looks kind of science fiction-y, especially with Fisher Stevens with the cigar in his mouth as well. And then, of course, we've got John holding the alien device, which causes so much damage and more. And that's the key thing about this film, is that it is a bit of an alien invasion, or, you know, alien takeover style film. And little touches of Mad Max here and there with the hotted up cars in it too, which we'll talk about too. Now, this film, I had to get through a place called badmovies.com.au because I just can't find any other copy, to be perfectly honest. So you can get editions of this out there with that too. So on the blurb it says, Michael and Ellie break into a military junkyard to find a science project for Michael's class and discover a strange glowing orb which absorbs all forms of electricity. While the orb begins to blend past, present and future, it's up to Michael and Ellie to stop the orb and save mankind. Now, of course, that's just routine, great idea for a film when it comes to science fiction. And particularly one when it's got that sort of UFO contraption to it. And it kind of, anything, kind of looks like the device from Masters of the Universe, which would be 2 years later, we'd see. You wonder whether this was an influence on that. Now, of course, the big name in this is Dennis Hopper, which is kind of interesting because he's playing a lecturer or a science professor, if you like, at the high school that they go to. And it's an interesting role. Again, we'll talk about the cast in more deep part of it too. But, of course, it gives him a chance to kind of do his Easy Rider look a little bit later in the film when he's gone to all these different dimensions that, you know, the whole idea springs about. It's a great film, folks, and I really hope that you're able to find this. You know, it's not this kind of one you just want to watch on YouTube or something like that. Really get out there and try and find even maybe a Blu-ray copy. Like I said, I've got the DVD, and this is an NTSC one, so you could find it out there too. But I think with this, you know, it's going to be one that's going to be a little bit harder to find. Certainly is, I think, trying to find it out there myself. But again, even if you can find it on VHS, Who knows? I'm a collector of VHS myself, as I've mentioned many times on the show. Certainly looking out for some more action films. There's a couple of ones that have slipped through the cracks and not come to DVD, which particularly Vietnam War action films that were done in the 80s, which are over the top. OTT action films. We'll certainly look out for some of those as well. But with this film, directed by, of course, the writer of Last Starfighter, Jonathan R. Buttel. So, Buttel, and of course, with Buttel's obviously very well known for Last Starfighter, it's great to see that he did another science fiction as well. And it's got fairly, all over ratings. Like, so IMDb gives it 5.9 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes gives it 11% and TV Guide 38%. But we'll get into that and more here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast tonight. G'day, man. How you going? Welcome to the Lethal Mullet Network, where you'll find all these amazing shows and more. Where you'll find the Lethal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of action cinema from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. You'll also find Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast, where I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Mark Newbold, into a deep dive of Star Trek. You can also find Mullet and Kilt, a look at music, where I'm joined by my dear pal, Darth Elvis. And where you can also find the Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe. All here on, of course, lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on your favourite podcatcher. You can find us there. You can also find all these shows a week later on, of course, the one, the only Fandom Podcast Network, FPN, on fpnet.podbean.com. Don't forget to also follow us on socials. There's, of course, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the handle at the Lethal Mullet. We'll catch you out there and enjoy your action cinema. And now it's time for the news here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast. All right, folks, we're looking at an article today from Marie Claire, which looks at the latest action movies as of around about, I think it was June, and which ones are the best to watch. And where? And there's quite a few good ones, and some that probably I haven't seen yet, and I've been told to go and check out. One of them is Ambulance, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Eliza Gonzalez, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, of course, from The Matrix. He's a fantastic actor. Garrett Dillahunt, Keira O'Donnell, Moses Ingram, Jose Pablo Cantillo, and Kaylee Tran. And it looks really good. Like, again, it's of course, the director, Michael Bay, so why wouldn't you? but I will definitely be checking this out. It's something that a few listeners have said to go and check out, Ambulance. It's one that's very, very good. Another one, of course, that they're putting in this one, of course, was The Batman. We've already covered that here. The Lost City, which I haven't seen yet, folks, so I must check it out. And, of course, here's the one that I am going to be watching today, actually, and we'll cover a little bit later in a review episode, full episode dedicated to it. Michelle Yeoh, Jamie Lee Curtis, of course, Short Round from the one, the only, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Ke-Hi Chuan, and that is, of course, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. It also stars, check this out, guys, and this is, of course, James Hong. How good is that? Andy Lee, Brian Lee, Harry Shum Jr., and Jenny Slate. And, of course, it's all about multi-universes, so I can't wait to check it out. It's going to be fantastic. Another one, of course, The Contractor, starring Chris Pine, Ben Foster, and many others, and Kiefer Sutherland as well. Pine in this one is, again, kind of playing a Special Forces agent. It's very Jack Ryan by the look of it. And whenever you put an or on the end of it, you know that it's going to start a series of B-grade copies that are out there. Another one, which I watched, actually, on the weekend. It's called The Northman, starring Alexander Skarsgård, Nicole Kidman, Ethan Hawke, Claes Bang, and, of course, Anna Taylor-Joy and Willem Dafoe. And even Bjork's in it. Now, this is a very interesting Viking film, and one that's as rooted in reality as it could be, I suppose. It's about a Viking prince who vows revenge against the uncle who took everything from him, killed his father, and of course took his life away. And it's pretty gritty, folks. The only other Viking film that gets close to being like this is, of course, The 13th Warrior. But even that's a bit more, you know, geared towards mythology, and of course, it being a retelling of Beowulf and Grendel. But this one, fantastic. And Alexander Skarsgård's brilliant in it. I haven't seen some of these other ones that they're talking about here, the Marvel ones, etc. There's one called The Roundup, which looks fantastic. So we'll definitely have to check out some of these. And of course, they talk about Top Gun. And of course, yeah, so it's great to see when sites, magazines, whatever, give out a layout of some of the better action films out there to check out. Without a doubt, I can recommend The Northman. It is action-packed, but it's also a really well-developed film and universe and story is classic revenge tale.
Hey, mate, how you going? Come on in, mate. Yeah, yeah. What shall it be?
Oh, yeah. Man, it's been real busy, D, you know? Oh, wow.
Right,
yeah.
Mate.
Hey. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like I was telling my mate the other day, you know, have a nice, you know, cold beverage.
Well, here you go, mate. Here, enjoy this beverage and enjoy this film chat.
1985 was the year of many great sci-fi comedies, but comedies in general, folks. Obviously, the first of the Back to the Future films. We had Real Genius. We also had Weird Science as well. So it's interesting that we had another one geared towards teenage comedy. And, of course, in this case, comedy with a bit of a science fiction twist as well. This is a film starring John Stockwell, which really gave us a fun action-adventure, bit of a Spielberg feel to it, but also, you know, it was the first of Disney's Touchstone films at the time, too. We open up with 1957, where the U.S. Air Force or military find a UFO crashed in a hangar bay. And, of course, this crashed UFO is brought in, and the president, Eisenhower, once he inspects the craft, he says, you got to get rid of this. This is, can't be here. We jump forward from here after this event to 1985, and we meet Michael Harlan, played by John Stockwell, who basically is a teenager that's only interested in one thing, and that is, of course, massive muscle cars. And this is one of the things I love about this movie. It's got muscle cars and definitely has one of the coolest ones out there. I do believe it's a 68 GTO, which is just phenomenal. The GTO was also out here in Australia under a different name too, so we know the car quite well. So John Stockwell's character, Michael, basically needs to find a science project so that he doesn't fail science. His teacher is, of course, played by the one and the only Dennis Hopper. And Dennis basically says, if you don't get your project together, you are going to fail. So, not wanting to do it, Michael goes out in search of something for his science project. So, while he goes out, he has a friend by the name of Ellie Sawyer, who needs to help him for this. And, of course, she thinks it's a date, not actually just going out to actually find a science project. Played by Danielle von Zemeck. And what's great about it is the unlikable pairing of these two really works. It's quite hilarious. With Michael, they break into an aircraft, basically graveyard. You see these sorts of locations in a number of films in the 80s. And you even see it in Con Air. And one of the Transformers movies, I believe it's the second one. From here, they find, basically it's an old fallout shelter, where they find what looks to be some type of boombox with a plasma globe in the middle of it. It's scientific, but also very science fiction at the same time. And of course, they don't know exactly what it is. So they pick it up and take it with them. Just as a military soldier or guard comes up and tries to take him on. From here, Michael, in the next day, takes the this boomboxy-looking thing to, of course, his auto shop. And this is where he switches it on for the first time. Once it activates, it basically gets energy from somewhere else, like an automatic battery, automotive battery, whatever you call it, from a car, vice versa. And there's a swirl inside the plasma conduit, and that keeps going higher and higher. And from there, of course, it starts to suck energy from anywhere in and around it as well. From here, they don't know exactly what they've got, and of course, need to take it to Dr. Roberts. This is the science teacher played by Dennis Hopper. They just refer to it as the gizmo. So they take the gizmo over there, and of course, he doesn't know exactly what to give it. You know, Dennis Hopper's character is basically an old hippie. And this hippie character, of course, you know, is wondrous about anything when it comes to scientific or anything technological. They know exactly what is going on. Of course, from here, they start to play with the fact that this technology might not be just what they seem. From here, of course, we have Dennis Hopper basically plugging it into a power socket. And from here, the gizmo goes nuts and sets off multiple dimensions all over the place. Of course, the team, with, of course, his friend Vince Latello, played by, of course, the amazing Fisher Stevens, from here, have the idea that they have to chase this wherever it's going to go. Where is this power going to get to next? And, of course, it goes off like an explosion. There's no other way to get around it. So the idea is that they need to try and trap it where it is. And, of course, from where they are, they try and do it within their car. Of course, the hotted up GTO, which is just an absolutely beautiful thing. And, of course, we get to see that great scene where the blower goes as fast as possible. And, you know, again, it's a little bit of an ode to Mad Max. I'm sure by this time the first two had been seen in the United States. But from here, of course, the mainstay of the movie is the amazing effects work done in, of course, the school itself. From here, we have this post-apocalyptic sort of idea of the school getting taken over by multiple dimensions. We get to see everything from the Vietnam War, and we have some great scenes in that. We have everything from what looks to be werewolves and stuff like that to, of course, there's a Woodstock moment. There's even some great stuff where we get to see an amazing dinosaur. We see the Tyrannosaurus Rex, folks, in this. That's how cool it is. A downed helicopter in it as well, and much, much more. And, of course, the one helping them along the way is played by, of course, Ralph A. Savage. He's, of course, Sherman, who's basically the nerd of the school. But he gets, of course, his amazing and just a lot of fun moment in as he becomes a bit of an action hero in this as well. This is where this film, I think, kind of, you know, as good as, I mean, Back to the Future, one of my favorite movies ever, but this movie hits it on another level. Plus, you get Richard Besser in the movie, Barry Corbin as well, and in another role too. This is just one of those ones that is a real VHS hit, you know, for me. Now, it may not have done quite as well as it wanted to. You know, box office was only $4 million. But, folks, this was a movie that you sat down and you enjoyed in home on VHS. All right, let's have a look at some of the cast here. Of course, we've got John Stockwell. Probably known more for, I guess, his work on Top Gun, as he was a star in that one as well. He was also in the Tom Cruise movie Losing It. And, of course, well, Top Gun too. He's also known for the John Carpenter movie Christine, and he's also directed Blue Crush as well. So he's more a director these days. Obviously, in Top Gun, he had the role of Cougar, which is an interesting one. And I think with Cougar, you know, he was top dog on the aircraft carrier that obviously Goose and Maverick were on that one too. But let's have a look at some of the ones he's done. So, as an actor in a TV series, he's again Escape at Dannemora, which is a TV series. Breaking the Girls, where he played David Layton. Touristas, he played a male backpacker in that. Cheaters, Breastmen, Legal Deceit, Stag, The Nurse. This is going back to the 90s here, folks. And also, of course, he's done a lot of directing work too. So, as a director, let's have a look at some of the credits he has there too. All right, here we go. So, if you're a
a fan of action films, you're going to love this. So he's directed Kickboxer Vengeance back in 2016, Armed Response 2017. There you go. He's also done the movies Rocky Point, Middle of Nowhere, Cat Run, Killer in the Family, SEAL Team 6, The Raid on Osama Bin Laden, the TV movie in 2012, In the Blood, Kid Cannabis, and Cat Run 2, as well as Countdown. There you go, folks. And of course, you've probably heard of some of those ones that are out there. They're definitely some of the ones that you think of. Now, of course, Armed Response starred, of course, Wesley Snipes and Anne Heche. And yeah, it was one of many of the ones that I'd say Wesley's done over the years since getting out of jail, I guess, which are action-led vehicles. And it's great to see him acting in anything. I mean, you got to say, Wesley Snipes is one of the greatest, not only actors out there, but he's a martial artist too, a really, really good martial artist. Everything he does on screen has always looked fantastic. So big shout-out to him because, again, he's a fantastic actor. We've also got here Fisher Stevens, of course. Now, we talked about Fisher Stevens on some past episodes. He's an interesting actor. He's done a lot of stuff I've always liked, his work in the past. He was in Hackers, Short Circuit 1 and 2, Super Mario Brothers as well, where he played Iggy. And, of course, he reunited with, of course, Dennis Hopper on that one too. He's an actor, producer, director, writer, and he worked on, of course, the crew behind the scenes in films too. So definitely multi-talented actor. And this is really good. Again, he's got more of a comedic part, I guess, to a certain extent. Gets a lot of the laughs. So we've got also Richard Masur. And Richard, of course, probably know him more, I'm guessing, probably for some of the stuff he's done in the early 80s. The Thing, Risky Business, My Girl, Hanover Street as well. You know, he's done a lot of that sort of stuff. He kind of always got the similar role where it's, you know, authoritative sort of figure. Who else we got there? We've got Barry Corbin in this too. He plays Lou Harlan, plays the father, of course, of, well, you know the man. Of course, of Cougar himself. And, of course, he's in a lot of different stuff over the years. We'll look at some of his filmography here. But a lot of the time playing fathers, captains, you know, family roles, that sort of thing. But a huge, huge backlog of westerns and TV shows and action films. And it goes right back. I mean, I'm looking at the list here, folks. Right back to through the 90s, the Wild West, Northern Exposure, Murphy Brown, The Hot Spot, Amen, the TV series. But if you go back to the 80s, well, he had some great ones in the 80s. Obviously, My Science Project was one. He was in Dallas as well. Boom, the TV show, Fatal Vision. What else was he in? He was also in Under Siege, a TV movie, The A-Team, play J.J. Kincaid in that one too. So you can see Matlock, he was in as well, Mr. President and Undercover. Huge, huge background and great work in that one too. We also have, of course, Bo Dremmen, Raphael Sabarge, Danielle von Zernick as well. And, of course, we've also got Cameron Young playing the General's aide, the General played by John Carter. And we also have Pat Simmons playing Crystal as well. Now, of course, the director and writer, of course, is Jonathan R. Batuille. And, of course, he is the writer, of course, of The Last Starfighter before this as well, which is just fantastic. Now, it's interesting that and the film itself definitely has some of the trappings of Back to the Future. You know, the idea of the high school, teenagers, of course, and, of course, the time travel part. And, you know, multiple dimensions is kind of a little bit different, but still pulling from different eras and stuff like that, I thought was really interesting. And it's certainly something that it makes it more the interesting part of the film and something that really adds up to the fact that 85 was the year of these sorts of movies. All right, so we do have some interesting parts to add in, of course, the cameos in this movie. One of them being, of course, Megatron himself, Frank Welker, plays one of the aliens in this, the voice. does the voice of the aliens themselves. We also have, in the Vietnam segment, Al Leong. Yes, the legendary martial artist and, of course, action star and, of course, stuntman. The one, the only, Al Leong, plays one of the Vietnamese soldiers in this. And also, legendary man of the weaponry, that is, of course, Gerald Okamura, plays another Vietnamese soldier in that scene too. So if you're an action star, this film's got it for you, folks, I tell you. You know, and those scenes are actually well played out, and it's definitely not, you know, just a little section of, you know, the set or whatever it is. What they've really done is each little partition or each little room that they set for those things is really well thought out, I personally think, too. You know, it's an interesting way of laying it out, too. But what I love about it is that's what really is the heart of this film. And it really makes that for that to make it easy. All right, so let's have a look at some of the filming locations before we get into some trivia. So the filming locations were predominantly in and around Van Nuys in California, Los Angeles, California, and, of course, also in Tucson, Arizona. So one of the filming locations was this Congress Street, Tucson, Arizona, and also 228 E 6th Street, which is the exterior of Harlan's True Value and Charlie's Auto Service in Arizona, USA. Also, Glendale Grand Central Air Terminal and Grandview Avenue, Glendale, California, was basically the air and obviously all the stuff they were doing, I guess, for the early 1950s scenes. Also used was the Van Nuys High School, which is at Cedros Avenue, Van Nuys, Los Angeles, California. Again, one of the things I do is I actually look at what the locations look at these days, and you can look at that actually through IMDb, through the maps area there too. And of course, big one is, of course, Van Nuys, Los Angeles, California, USA. Now, a lot of what I know of Van Nuys was from watching documentaries on Star Wars, folks, which we have a link to on this too. Now, not only was it the location of where they had the first company, I suppose, studio lot, which is, of course, for ILM, for Van Nuys, but what's interesting is some of the creature and makeup effects of this were actually supervised by Rick Baker, who worked on Star Wars. So there you go, folks. All right, let's head into some, of course, trivia here today as well. Okay, so Bob Roberts, played by Dennis Hopper, returns from the 1960s, and of course, the outfit he's wearing is pretty much the one he used as Billy in, of course, Easy Rider from back in 1969. Now, one of the interesting things, too, is that John Stockwell's character was in, of course, Christine. And there's a scene where Fisher Stevens even says the line here. He says, "You know, I've seen this movie where this haunted car flames guys out." And, of course, he's talking about Christine, the movie that he did as well. What's interesting is there's been a few articles and a few videos I've seen where they talk about that there are actually going to be alien puppets used on the opening scenes, but I'm guessing that that must have been pretty good because they scrapped that idea. Now, the plot of the movie itself takes the place of one whole night. So it's not over a number of couple of days, just one night. Dennis Hopper just got out of rehab before acting in this movie. Interesting. And of course, there's an X-Men Classics issue number 3 given to Michael from Vince. Michael passes to Vince in one of the scenes as well. What interesting things is this movie as well was one of the first of the movies that Touchstone put out. And this, of course, was a new company, basically part of the Disney division. And it was an interesting one to sort of start out. It definitely has feelings of that E.T. era sort of Spielberg feel too. So it's interesting. There's also, of course, we see some of the characters in this, particularly John Stockwell, who, you know, could be related to maybe Dean Stockwell. Now, what's interesting about it is they're not related at all. So that's something that I've always thought too. I thought, hang on, isn't he related or his son or something like that? But no, no relation at all. And of course, this movie, I think, too, is interesting because Fisher Stevens and Dennis Hopper were in the same movie here, but also many years later, in 1993, they got together for Super Mario Brothers, which, got to say, folks, I actually really enjoyed rewatching that. Whether I'll actually do one here, I don't know. We'll just have to see how that goes. So, in a whole, folks, how do I rate this film on the Hallenbach scale? Well, I'm going to say I enjoyed rewatching the movie. I've enjoyed, you know, getting a feel for what this, you know, movie is all about. And, of course, just the time period. It's always very close to my heart, the mid-80s in particular. So this film gets a 4 out of 5 on the Hallenbach scale here at the Lethal Mullet Podcast. G'day, folks. Hope you're enjoying the great shows here on the Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to check out all the great shows that we have on offer and subscribe on the master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. You can check Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel and Lee Fillingsis on their platform. You can also check out Culture Clash, which is the weekly look at pop culture hosted by Kevin and Kyle. Couch Potato Theatre, this is a cult classics and guilty pleasure podcast. Also Time Warp, a fandom flashback show. End Zone, a look at the NFL, the American football. Also, Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, looking at the great films of Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation podcast, a Star Trek and Orville podcast, looking at Discovery, and of course, Picard, plus the Orville. But also, the Hair Metal podcast, looking at the great shows put on by the amazing bands back in the late 80s, their discs, their LPs, everything, all covering the fashion as well. Hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel. You can also check out Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, hosted by Kevin and Dan Hadley, looking at all the eras of Doctor Who. You can also catch out What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, an amazing show looking at Star Wars, hosted by Derek and Scott. And of course, our newest one, the amazing, The Mullet Guild, an offshoot of the Lethal Mullet podcast, looking at Frank Herbert's Dune universe. This is like an encyclopedia for Dune, where I take you through and down into the rabbit hole of Frank Herbert's amazing space opera, the sprawling universe which is going to be brought to life by Denis Villeneuve and December 18. You can check out all the shows there. Be sure to also go onto the social platforms on Twitter at FanPod Network. Let us know what you think of the shows and what else you can look at there. You can also check out great articles that we put up through there that we share. Also check out on Instagram and Facebook, Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to make sure that every Tuesday you check out the great work done by Making Treks as well. A brand new podcast looking at a deep dive of Star Trek, hosted by myself, James Semple, and of course, the ever popular and amazing writer of Star Trek and Star Wars, Mark Newbold. Go and check it out, folks, and we'll catch you next time here on the Phantom Podcast Network's The Lethal Mullet Podcast. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.